Today, I'm starting a new series, and it's going to be awesome. It's on prayer, and as I was preparing for this and studying for this, it's going to be ultimately on the Lord's Prayer, but I'm leading up to that with the scriptures that are right before it, and as I've been thinking about prayer and just the Christian life, do you know that prayer is really the simplest thing that a person can do, right? I mean, just talk to God. I mean, even people that don't believe in God do that at some point, right? As crisis hits and they talk to God. But it's the simplest thing we can do. But while it's extremely simple, it's also probably the most impactful thing for your life that you can do. Now, what I don't like about prayer, and this isn't what I don't like about prayer, but what I don't like about teachings about prayer is Christians have a lot of rules for prayer, right? We have a lot of these kind of like unspoken rules. Like the first one is your eyes have to be closed, right? God does not hear you if your eyes are open, right? They got to be closed. Well, I'm going to tell you that there are situations and circumstances where your eyes probably should be open when you're praying. Some of you drive on the way to work and you pray, keep your eyes open, okay? That would be stupid, okay? I'm just saying. I'm just calling it like I see it. That would be stupid to drive down the road with your eyes closed because you were praying. You don't always have to have your eyes closed. A lot of people are really picky about posture, right? I should be kneeling when I pray. I should be sitting when I pray. I should be standing when I pray. I should be pacing the floor when I pray. I should be laying face down when I pray. Okay, all these things I'm going to tell you, they all have their place. I'm not saying that they are not important. I'm just saying they're not really rules for prayer. Is what I'm getting at. Some people think that you have to start every prayer with Father. You have to end every prayer with in Jesus' name. Or, you know, God's not listening and it's not going to be done. Right? Because that's what the scriptures tell us. That's the way we read them. Is that it has to be in Jesus' name or it's not going to be done. And if we don't address him as Father, he's probably not going to know we're talking to him. You know? We have, you must quote a scripture. If you don't quote a scripture, right? Jesus quoted scripture when he rebuked the devil. So if you're not quoting a scripture, like it's not a legitimate prayer because, you know, that's where our power is. Some think that we should ask God basically every time to do something miraculous and then say, well, if it's in your will, right? So like if it's your will, it is his will to do miracles. He's a miracle working God. Everything he does is miraculous. If he's going to do anything at all, it's miraculous. So if he's going to do anything, it's in his will. We don't have to ask him every single time. And by the way, he's not going to do it if it's not in his will. So, I mean, quite frankly, you could leave that part out. He's already got that covered. But again, all these things can be good. All these things are, they can be good principles with prayer and they have their place. But here's the problem is sometimes we let all of these things take away from the simplicity of prayer. Sometimes people don't pray because of these things, because they're like, well, I don't know how. It's like, I got to remember all the rules, and I don't really know how to do that or do it properly, especially if other people are around. What are they going to think if I address, you know, the Father and that should have been directed to Jesus? Or if I say Holy Spirit and they, you know, they don't think you should pray to the Holy Spirit. And listen, God's got all that stuff covered. It doesn't matter which of the names you use. He's got it covered. We can't worry about those things, but people do. And they don't know how because we've taken this thing that should be simple, talking to God. And we as Christians have complicated it. It's simple. Talk to God. Listen to God. And it's just as simple. It really is just as simple as having a conversation with a friend. Right, except that God's not always going to audibly speak back. I know that's a little weird, and you get through that with practice, and so I'm going to be going through the Lord's Prayer, and it is good to have instruction in prayer. The Lord's Prayer kind of gives us some guidelines, but ultimately we just need to pray. We need to pray, and so this sermon here is going to be leading into that, and it's really just about focus. It's about before we get into the Lord's Prayer. And break that apart. It's about what is our focus as we lead into that. So Jesus, I'm going to tell you, he expects us to pray. Do you know that? Do you know that it's not really optional? It's not like if you would like to pray. Like he expects us to pray. I'm going to be in Matthew today, chapter 6, going through verse 5 through 8. This is what it says. It says, and when you pray, say when you pray. you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you pray, say, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, good. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. See, he says, and when you pray. He repeats this three times through there, and when you pray. It's an expectation that Jesus has for you that you will pray. He's speaking to believers here. When you pray, you will. This is something that you will do, not if, but when. It's essential to our lives, okay? Lots of people say that they pray. Most people, what they mean is they pray when they have problems, okay? He doesn't say pray when you have problems. He says when you pray, like this is something that you're going to regularly do, probably on a daily basis. It's going to be an essential part of your life. And this is what I just reading through the Gospels, and you see how many times Jesus prays and how many times he goes off to pray. You know, if Jesus had to pray all the time, we really need to pray all the time, right? I mean, if he had to do it, then we definitely need to do it. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, prayer is taken for granted. No man can be in the kingdom of heaven who does not pray. He says, you can't be in the kingdom of heaven if you do not pray. Jesus expects us to pray, and he expects us to pray really even in a way that is effective. And I know I just talked about the simplicity of prayer, but I'm going to bring it back there. We have to pray in a way that is effective. There's prayer that is not effective. Do you know that? There is prayer that is not effective. There is prayer that comes from selfish motives. There's prayer that comes from really evil or ungodly motives. And he says, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Don't pray like the hypocrites. How many of you want to pray like the hypocrites? Everybody's paying attention. No hands went up. That's good. Everybody's still awake. All right, good deal. I'm going to teach you a Greek word today, okay? You ready for this? This is the Greek word for hypocrites. Hypokrates. I spell it out in my notes in a way that I will understand it. So if you look at my notes, it looks hilarious. But hypokrates. Next time you read that verse, if you quote it to somebody, I want you to read it like this. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. You'll sound really intelligent. People will be like, or really dumb. They're going to be like, I don't think you read that word right. But hypocrites, and the reason I want to tell you what this word means is this is a word in the Greek. It was a word used in theater, okay? It was a word used in theater to describe a character that wore a mask. This is what he's talking about when he says hypocrites, hypocrites. He's saying don't pray like the character in the play that wears a mask. See, when I read the word hypocrites, I just think about someone who says they'll do one thing and they do something else. But it's deeper than that. It's a person that wears a mask. You know what a mask does? Is a mask makes you look like something that you are not. A mask is a disguise where it makes you appear like you are something that you actually are not. And that's the problem here is these men here, says they would pray in the synagogues, in the churches, basically. They would pray on the street corners, the places where it was busy. You got to understand, in this day in Jerusalem, they would pray at certain hours of the day, and there was hot spots where the traffic was at. And they would go and stand on those street corners and pray out loud for everybody to hear. This is what he's talking about. They did it so that they could be seen. That was their motive. That's why they did it, is because we want to be seen praying. They wanted to be seen as religious people. They wanted to be seen as they were holy and they were something and they had things figured out. But you know what? They were wearing a mask. They were just characters playing a part, wearing a mask. Their motive was to be seen, not to be heard. Right? Isn't our motive in prayer to be heard by God, not by men? Their motive was to be seen, not to be heard. And I've heard it said before that prayer is never a waste of time, but I disagree. I think if our motives are not pure and are not correct, then prayer is a waste of time. It absolutely can be a waste of time. If our motive is anything but to connect with God, then it can be a waste of time. Okay? We have to have the right motives, the right intentions. If you're putting on a mask to pray, to play the part, you know, there's something that you've got to know, and it's that God knows what's behind the mask. Right? God knows the hypocrites. He knows those who are standing there on the street corner who are leading prayer in a group that are just putting on a mask to appear that there's something on the outside that they actually are not on the inside. He sees through it and he knows the true identity. He knows the true character. You know, people get fooled by the subtlest masks, right? Just the subtlest identity change. You ever think about like Superman, like how stupid are the people that don't know that Superman is Clark Kent? Like all he did is take off his glasses and put on tights. I mean, Sherry, if you just took off your glasses and changed your clothes, I would still know that it's you. Like, I don't know, you wouldn't fool me. But Superman gets everybody fooled. You know, the subtlest of things can fool man. But you know, God still looks through and sees who's behind the mask. God knew that it was Superman, or knew that Superman was Clark Kent the whole time. He was never fooled by it. He always knew. But those who pray to be seen make it look like they're a man or woman of prayer, right? It's like, I want to pray up front. I'll tell you that basically anyone that prays in this church as a part of the service, they don't usually want to be up here. I'll tell you, none of them want to come up here like, sure, I would love to lead prayer on Sunday morning. It's usually the opposite. It's like, you asked me, so I will do it. But no, I do not want to. But you know what? Some places you do have people that they're like, I want to be the one up there leading prayer. And some of those people may be genuine. Maybe they are powerhouse and God is calling them to do it. But some people also want to do it because they want to be the man behind the mask. Right? I am a prayer leader, right? God speaks to me and listens to me, and all you guys are going to pray with me. There are people like that. Jesus says those people already have their reward. Like they already have their reward. It doesn't even matter what the words are that they're speaking. It's an empty, worthless prayer, and they have their reward in their recognition, in their mask, right? Their mask that's not going to last. There's this theologian, Dwight Pentecost. I don't know how he got such a cool last name. I think if your last name's Pentecost, you have to be a theologian. But Dwight Pentecost, he wrote this book, Lessons in Holiness from the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he says in it. While man's faith in God will manifest itself in man's relationship with men, a man's faith in God is a matter between himself and God alone. When one's religion is used to impress men, God disavows it as providing any basis for his approval. Multitudes assemble themselves in churches, not out of a heart of love and devotion to God, nor because they recognize a sense of obligation to come together with God's people around his word to fellowship with the Father, but they gather to maintain an image, a reputation before men. They go through empty forms of worship, devoid of any reality. They are there to impress men. And the Lord said they will get what they want. They will have their reward, but not from God. Yikes. That's a tough reality. But that's the truth. If that's the motive, if it's to impress somebody, if it's to put on that mask and the look at me, I'm a Christian, God says you will have your reward, but it won't be from him. You know, it won't be from him. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we wearing that mask of religion? Are we wearing the mask of religion? Are we here to be seen? Are we here to please some other person in our lives? Or are we here to seek God? Are our motives pure? Are our motives right? And for most people, praying in public isn't your thing, okay? I know that it's probably not. But this model here isn't limited to just prayer, right? It could be just, are you involved in the church just to put on an image? Like, are you not seeking God at all? Like, are you just here so that so-and-so thinks you're a Christian? The answer is yes for some people in the church, okay? I'm being real with you today. I'm telling you that if that's the reason, is so that men or women will think that you are something that you are not, I'm telling you that your reward, that's your reward right there, is that you have fooled a man or a woman. Listen, men and women are foolish, and they can be fooled, but God sees behind the mask. He sees the true identity, and as a matter of fact, when he says that you have your reward, he says you will have your full reward, is how some translations put it. Like, that's the entirety of the reward. You've got it all. Like, there's nothing else coming. A reward is payment for some kind of labor. It's payment for labor that's been performed. Payment that's due for labor that's performed. And so maybe you're putting in the work of coming to church. Maybe you're putting in the work of doing something in the name of Christ. But if it's so that a person will see you doing it with your mask on, you have your full payment. See, here, they see you as holy, but that's all that you get. And who wants to just be seen as holy by people? I mean, don't we want God to look at us and see holiness? I'll tell you what, when he looks at us, he does see holiness if we are in Christ. Because then he looks at us, and the Father looks at us, and he sees his Son who's perfect and holy and just. But you know what? If we're not in Christ, if we're not connected, if we're not with him, one with him, then the Father looks at us and he sees the person that's behind that mask of holiness that's fooling people, and it does not fool him one bit. Don't we want our reward from prayer to be a response from a holy, loving, miracle-working God? Like, isn't that the reward that we want from prayer? That's the reward that I want. I want God responding to me as the reward for my prayer. I don't want any other reward from prayer. I don't want, that was a good prayer. Like, I've had that before, especially if you have to pray at, like, some kind of event or something. You know, maybe you have to pray at a family gathering, and somebody will be like, that was a really good prayer. It's like, I don't know. Keep it. Like, keep that. I don't want that reward. Like, I reject it. I want the reward of God Almighty responding to me, to the words that I spoke to him. So if you have the mask on, take off the mask. God knows who's behind it. He knows the reality. Verse 6, he said, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How great does that sound? Doesn't it sound great? Going to the secret place and God will reward you openly. But there it is again, the when you pray. When you pray, get alone with God, is what he says. When you pray, go into that secret place, get alone with God, and do whatever you have to do to make a personal connection. This is between me and God. Sometimes I think that we like praying as a group. Sometimes I feel like maybe even on a Sunday morning when someone leads prayer, maybe it's during worship, maybe it's during prayer time, maybe it's at the end and we're all coming in agreement. We're like, this feels great because I'm praying, right? I am involved in this prayer, and we do believe in coming in agreement and yes and amen, and you can pray your own words if you want. We believe in all that, but if that's the extent of it, boy, you're in trouble. I'm just being real. If that's the extent of your prayer life, you're in serious trouble. He says, when you go into that secret place, The Father sees that and will reward you openly. You know, we don't just want to include God in a group text, right? We don't want to just include God in a three-way phone call. They still do that, right? I think you can do that on a cell phone where you call somebody and tag them in or whatever. It's like everybody's more comfortable with God on that kind of level. I don't have the personal responsibility if he speaks something that's bad. Hopefully it won't be to me, right? Because it'd be like, well, that was obviously for you. We were in this together. You know, I think a lot of people are more comfortable speaking to God on that kind of level because there's no accountability. It's not, I can always push it off on somebody else that, oh, well, they're better at praying, so I'll let them do it. I'll come into agreement. Charles Spurgeon, I've gotten using him a couple of times. Listen, there's an app out there called, just type in Charles Spurgeon Sermons. It's got every sermon that Charles Spurgeon ever preached. And he's amazing, old school preacher. So I have a lot of Charles Spurgeon stuff because I've been listening to his stuff and it's amazing. But he told this story one time. He was praying and he said that a man came to see him. He said it was a very important man. This was Saturday night as he was preparing for Sunday. And everybody in his circle knew I'm off limits. Do not come and approach me on Saturday night. Don't bother me. I'm preparing for Sunday. This very important man comes and he's like, I've got to speak with Charles. And so his maid comes and tells this man, I want to give a plug there. Maid, preachers don't have to be poor. Charles Spurgeon had a maid. Okay? We don't have a maid. All right, but I'm just saying, Charles Spurgeon is a very godly preacher. You know, old school, he had a maid. So there goes the poverty, everybody that's a Christian has to be poor mentality. But his maid comes to tell him, hey, Mr. Spurgeon, there's this man out here and he needs to see you. He's a very important person. And he reminds the maid, he's like, this is the time that I'm not to be interrupted. Like, you aren't even supposed to be telling me this right now. Like, you need to go and tell him that I'm unavailable. He'll have to come back later. And so she goes and tells the man, and the man says, tell Mr. Spurgeon that a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ desires to see him immediately. Now, this is getting a little bit intense. I mean, if somebody comes and interrupts me and tells me that, I might be like, dude, this could be a messenger from God. Maybe I should drop everything. So she comes and she tells him that, delivers this message, and this is Charles Spurgeon's response. Tell him I am busy with his master and cannot see servants now. I mean, that's how seriously he took his personal prayer time. Is he's like, I don't even have time for another servant right now because I'm meeting with the master. What in the world do I need to talk to you for? Like, I'm meeting with the one that's in charge. I don't need to speak to you. I mean, maybe tomorrow when this meeting is over, but his prayer life was so important to him that I don't know what the need was. He doesn't reveal what the need ended up being. Maybe it was something that the guy thought was urgent, but he was meeting with God. He's like, there's nothing that's more important than this. What if our prayers were so focused on God in our times that we spend with him that all other distractions didn't even matter? It didn't matter what they were. Now, if you're in your home by yourself and you have a little kid, like maybe, okay, you don't want them to do something dangerous. Okay, there could be some limits there, but when we do this, we need to try to get that time where we're unhindered, right? We don't have things that are pulling at us. But what if we could block out all these distractions, even if it presented itself as important? This presented itself as something pretty important. Not only did he say he was an important person, but then he kept pushing, like, I'm really important. I need you right now. What kind of impact would that have on our lives if we pushed aside those distractions, even the ones that are important? 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the first part of that tells us, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know, God is looking for people whose heart is loyal to him. He's scanning the earth and he's looking for those that put him first, those that seek his attention, his affection over the attention and the affection of man. He's looking for that. Like, we should not take that lightly. God is looking for people whose heart is after him. You know what? Who doesn't want to be used by God? I mean, everybody, if we're being honest, we all want to be used by God. You know how he's going to use you? If your heart is turned toward him. Because he's looking. It's not going to go unnoticed. Right? We do things in this life that go completely unnoticed. We don't ever get recognition, but I'll tell you what, that God sees it. And as he's scanning the earth, he's looking. And he's looking for whose heart has turned toward me. He says that I will show myself strong on their behalf. Now, I don't know about you, but I really could use God showing himself strong on my behalf. I mean, day after day, night after night, I could really use him showing himself strong on my behalf. I mean, do you ever have those thoughts like, I'm weak? Like, I can't do this. This is too much for me. I mean, God will be strong on your behalf. This means that he will be your representative. On your behalf, he will stand in there between you and what you're dealing with, and he will be strong on your behalf. Right? We so often we're like, God, make me strong. That's not what he wants to do. He doesn't want to make you strong. You're weak. He is strong. The joy of the Lord is my strength, all that. I get that stuff. But he is the one that's strong. And as he scans the earth, when he sees those whose heart is turned toward him, he says, I will step in there. I will be strong on your behalf. So are you focused on him? Are you looking to him? Back to Matthew. If you go into that secret place and you pray, your Father sees in secret and will reward you openly. So this payment for genuine prayer, this heartfelt, genuine prayer, where we're really spending time with God, there's a reward for that. There's a payment for that, and that payment is whatever we ask for, we'll receive. Sort of. The payment is that God will respond. I mean, what more do we need than that? I mean, he's God. It doesn't really matter how he responds. The payment is that he will respond. He will respond. We often think of him rewarding us openly, as in front of everybody. You know, like God's just going to show up and he's going to be like, listen, the reason all of you are blessed today is because Melody prayed for 4 hours this week. Right? It's all her. Like, she has been on her knees and praying for all of you, and so that's why all your lives are going so great this week. We kind of think when God's going to reward us openly, like, he's going to have a megaphone and tell everybody about how great we are. Or we're going to receive these things that we're going to be able to show, well, because I'm such a man of God that God gave me this new boat. You know, like, that's the way that we think, is that rewarding openly is going to be like, we're going to receive something and everybody else is going to have to look at what I got for what I did. That's not at all what this means. It's not that God is going to give me X, this blessing and favor that everybody's going to recognize because I prayed. Openly, right here in this context, means at the proper place or the proper time. It means that when you pray, God's reward, when you pray in secret, his reward to you is that he will respond in the proper time and at the proper place. That doesn't necessarily mean that anybody else is going to see it. It doesn't mean that anybody else is going to notice. It means that he will respond at the right time. Who doesn't want God to respond at the appropriate time? Right? At the appropriate place. You know, there's so often that we think about God not responding to prayer. God not answering prayer. And we read a verse like this, rewarding us openly, and we're like, where's the answer? He's going to answer in the appropriate time, in the appropriate place. How perfect is that? You know, I mean, that's what we desire. And it can be in a way that nobody knows. This is part of why we give testimony, right? Because God responds at the proper time and the proper place, and nobody else may even know about it. And then we can bring it forward and make it open to the public. He can reward however he wants. It may be publicly, but it may be secret, but it will be at the proper time and the proper place. Right? God's not into giving us glory for our prayer life. He's not into making us known as something because we pray. right? He's the one that gets the glory. He will respond at the proper time, proper place, and then we can give him the glory by saying, you know what? I've been praying about this for 10 years, and you know what? God answered. I prayed about this once, and God answered. It doesn't matter how many times we prayed. The fact is that God responded, and he responded in the proper time and the proper place. And so the next time we're wondering, why hasn't God answered my prayer? I want you to look at this verse, that God will respond. He will reward you openly. He will reward you when it's the appropriate time and it's the appropriate place. Now, I do want to be clear that these scriptures right here are not saying that you can't pray in public. They're not saying that you can't pray in a group. They're not saying that that's a bad thing, because public prayer is important. It's encouraged in the scriptures. Matthew 18, verse 19 to 20 says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Okay, a lot of us lean on that scripture and rely on that scripture. It's still true. It's not saying you can't pray together. Luke 9, 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. Jesus himself took a few of the disciples with him. He's like, come on, guys, we're going to go up here and pray. So Jesus is all for you gathering in groups and praying together. Peter, in Acts chapter 12, Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. The church was praying together. They were having prayer meetings and getting together. I'm sure they were still praying on their own, but they were coming together. They were praying for Peter, who was in prison. These are all evidence in Scripture that praying in groups is good, and it's important. In Acts, we see them praying together in the upper room, right? 120 of them praying together for the Holy Spirit that was coming. One of the greatest parts of the whole Bible, when the Spirit came. Yet they were praying in a group. He didn't say, all 120 of you go home and lock yourselves in your prayer closet. He said, go up there and wait. It's going to be a while. And they waited and they prayed. Afterwards, we see them going from house to house, right? Daily. Said they went for food and for fellowship and prayer. They went from house to house praying together. Jesus says here not to pray in public for the attention of men, but for us to pray private and in secret. And see here, the thing is that it's a true, genuine heart for prayer. It starts in private. That's where it all starts at, is you've got to get the private prayer down. I'm not saying you have to be perfect in the way that you pray. Don't misread it. It's still simple. I'm just saying you have to pray in private and be comfortable praying to your God. And then you go pray in public with the right heart, with the right motives as you pray. We often see people, they don't want to pray in groups. A lot of times it's fear, right? It's fear of man. It's, I don't know what so-and-so is going to think of me. Or, you know, listen, I still get some of this stuff with when I'm praying in groups of people, right? Especially when I'm with other ministers or something. If I have to pray with them, if I have to preach in front of them, I still think these things. Like, none of us are immune to these thoughts. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you feel this way. I'm just trying to tell you what the scriptures say. But sometimes we don't want to pray in groups because we have this fear of man. I might sound stupid. I might say something that's wrong. But more often, just being real with you, it's that you don't know how to pray. I'm just being honest. It's more often that you just don't know how to pray. And again, I'm not saying that prayer is complex. I'm saying that you've not gotten to that place where you're just comfortable praying to God exactly as you are, in your language, the way that you speak. Listen, we don't have to pray in King James. You don't have to quote scripture and know book, chapter, verse to use the scripture. You can paraphrase. Like, we have all these things, again, with prayer that we think about, and it's like, well, I can't pray in a group, especially not with those guys. Like, think about all the things that they know. Listen, I still don't like praying with John Lomadu, right? I mean, I do like it, but I don't. It's like I'm praying with, like, a I'm praying with Methuselah, somebody that's been on the earth for like 870 years. And, you know, he knows all the scriptures and he prays all these things where you're like, you can then be careful because you can be in a group with somebody like that and you can end up where you're turning and you're admiring their prayer and thinking about how good they are instead of how good the God is that they're praying to. You know, and somebody like John, you guys know him, his heart is as pure as gold and he's phenomenal. I'm not saying anything bad about him. It's me, you know, and there's people like that where you get around him and you're kind of like, I feel small, like because his prayer is so great. Or he does this so great, he teaches so great, he does this. We can do that comparison thing. But again, when we get in those situations, a lot of times when it's fear of man, it's because we don't really know how to pray. And when I say know how, I just mean we're not comfortable praying to God in the way that we ought to. We can't be comparing ourselves to others. Not praying in private can be the reason there's a fear of man. If we pray regularly, then you will know how to speak to God. Right? You will know how to speak to God, and you won't have that fear when you come together with others. And why would you care how you compare to someone else's prayer? I mean, in all reality, why would you care how you pray compared to somebody else? Okay, I don't want, like, you know, Sherry and Channing go to lunch together. Like, I don't want to go and sit in on them and, like, I'm going to listen how Sherry talks to Channing. Right? Like, I don't really know her. I do know her too well. I probably should use a different example. But I want to listen to how, maybe I don't really talk to her the way I should. So I'm going to listen to what Sherry says. And the next time I meet with Channing, I'm going to talk to her exactly like Sherry does. Right? I'm going to sit and she'd be like, what the heck is wrong with you? Why, like, are you trying to be Sherry? Like, why is your voice like that? And why are you saying all those things that Sherry says, you know, because everybody's a little bit different. It's like, we would never consider doing that with people. I'm going to listen to how Crystal talks to Cheryl. The next time I talk to Cheryl, I'm going to try to imitate that. No, I'm going to talk to people the way that I talk, right? I'm not going to imitate someone else. And we shouldn't do that when we're talking to God. Don't imitate someone else. Don't think that you have to change who you are because someone else talks to God in this way that seems like it's so powerful. You know what? Maybe they're thinking the same thing about you. You ever thought of that? Maybe they like the way that you pray and they think, man, I should do what they're doing more often. That's not what it's about. It's just about talking to God. Private prayer comes before public prayer because private prayer is more important than public prayer. Public prayer is important, but I'm telling you, private prayer is more important. This is where we are changed. This is where we are shaped and molded by the Spirit of God and where He ministers to us directly. If you pray in private, you should be comfortable praying in public. Prayer, talking to Jesus, right? It's not complicated. It's really not. If I don't like talking to someone in public, or if I don't talk to someone in public, it makes it more difficult. If I don't talk to them in private, it makes it more difficult to talk to them in public. Okay, so when you're in public with somebody, you get in a group, you can get in a group with somebody that you don't really know, and you can kind of jump in and out on some things, and you know, you can kind of feel like you had a conversation with them, but really, you know, so-and-so did more of the talking, and you can really feel like you got in on a conversation. And then when you get alone with that person and you realize, I have no idea what to say to this person. Like that one time I was in a group with TJ and Stefan talked to him about hockey. I don't really know hockey, but maybe I'll try that. You know what I mean? Like it's the private, it's the personal conversation, the personal connection where you really make that connection in the relationship gets developed to where then when you go in public, it's easy and it flows and it's no big deal. Instead of piggybacking off someone else's conversation, I can speak to them like I really know them in a genuine conversation. How often is that done in prayer, right? When we pray in public. We need to pray in private. We need to focus on Jesus, connect with him personally. It develops confidence in talking to God. And if you can talk to him in private, you can focus and talk to him in public. Verse 7 of Matthew says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. This is a verse right here that gets twisted and distorted in its use all the time. Don't use vain repetition. Don't pray something over that you already prayed. Don't, like, have you read through the Psalms? I mean, some of those are like, have you ever decided you're going to highlight just things that stand out to you in the Bible, and then you get to a Psalm and you're like, it's the same thing. And then you're like, then you have the like mental dilemma, like, so do I have to highlight that? Maybe you guys aren't as crazy as I am, but do I have to highlight that all those times? Like, do I have to highlight praise him 74 times in this verse? Or like, is just the one okay? Or can I do like every 10th one or what? They're very repetitious, some of the Psalms, okay? And these are songs and prayers. They're kind of a mixture. It depends on what one you're looking at. But this verse does not mean that you can't repeat a prayer. It doesn't mean that you can only speak it out once, and after that, you better not repeat it, or you're being like the heathens. But we people teach that that's the case. It doesn't matter if you repeat it in the same prayer over and over. That's not what he's talking about here. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 7, we see this verse that's popular. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks, received. He who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be open. This verse implies that you should keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, repetitive. Seems like it could be a contradiction to what Jesus is teaching, but it's not. Because Jesus, when he says vain repetitions, he's talking about babbling. Like, that's the most appropriate word, babbling. Just junk flowing out of your mouth. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're just talking. You're just blah, 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 like Charlie Brown's teacher or whatever. Just junk flowing out of your mouth, spouting off stuff that's meaningless, that's excessive, that's wordy, that's going to go on and on and on and on, and you don't even know what you're talking about. That's what he's talking about when he says vain repetitions, because that's what the heathens do. Right? That's what somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that's how they would pray. Is they would just like blah, 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 just whatever, because they don't know the person they're talking to. They don't know how to converse with him. They don't have that relationship. They don't know how to go back and forth there. And so it's basically spouting off that meaningless stuff. It kind of sounds like what someone would do if they didn't know how to pray. I've probably prayed like that, right? We've probably all done that at some point. And maybe you do it when you're first saved and you first start to pray. That's okay. God's grace covers that stuff. He's not saying you're still a heathen, right? But what he's saying is the heathens do this because they don't have a relationship. They don't have that private connection where they've built that relationship with me. And so this also applies to repeating prayers without meaning them, okay? I'm leading into the Lord's Prayer. There's a lot of heathens that know the Lord's Prayer. There's a lot of people that have gone to Catholic church or they have Catholic, you know, family or whatever, and they know the Lord's Prayer and they know Hail Marys and they know all these different things that they can speak out of their mouth. But you know what? It's vain repetition because it's babble to them. They don't mean it. They don't know it in their heart. I'm not saying this applies to all Catholics. I'm just using that as an example because lots of people know things like the Lord's Prayer. And as we're speaking those out and we don't even believe them, that is vain repetition. Because you're repeating a prayer that has no significance to you, that has no meaning to you. So don't pray as the heathens do. We're not to pray for attention from men. We're not to babble, repeat things that we don't believe like the heathens. And then in verse 8, Matthew wraps this part up by saying, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. How amazing is that God knows what we have need of before we ever ask? You know, he's not surprised whenever we come to him in prayer. And so reading that, you can think, well, what do I need to pray for? Right? Why do I even need to do this if he already knows? Prayer is the God-appointed way to have those needs met. Like, you don't have to understand why. It's just the way he set it up. Okay? That's the God-appointed way to have those needs met, is by prayer, by asking. Prayer prepares us for the use, the proper use of the answer, right? It prepares us for the proper use of the answer. If we know our need and we voice it to God, if we're trusting in Him for our provision, trusting in Him to answer, then we will make better use of the answer than we would if God just gave it to us without ever asking. If He just forced it upon us, like, here's what you need. Sometimes we have to get to the place where we recognize, this is what I need. And God's like, it's about time. Here you go. I've been waiting to give this to you. Church, we need to pray. Amen? We need to pray. And I'm talking about each one of us in private. We need to pray. You know, I fear that there's people in the church, and I know there's people in every church that have been in church for years, and they don't know Jesus on a personal level because they don't pray. Because all they're doing is going week to week and living off of someone else's spiritual walk. It may be one of yours. It may be somebody else that they know, but they're feeding off of someone else's spiritual walk. You know, if prayer is awkward, you need to pray even more, right? You need to pray even more. You need to get to know Jesus more. And there's a couple of questions that you need to ask yourself. And that first one is a pretty easy one, but who am I praying to? Like, who am I praying to? Am I just babbling stuff off? Or do I know Jesus? Do I know that that's who I need to be praying to? You need to get that salvation part out of the way and know that Jesus is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by Him. And if you need help with that step, we're here for that. The answer is Jesus. And if you're not praying to Jesus, I don't know why you'd be praying, because you're wasting your time. Again, go back. You can talk to the Father. You can talk to the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. But get in private. Talk to your Redeemer, your Creator. And then you got to ask, why am I praying? Right? Why am I praying? Are they just our shopping list, right? Just the things that we want to throw in the cart and then we want God to pay for when we get to the checkout? We view God as some kind of like supernatural or cosmic like vending machine, right? If we put in just enough prayer, we can push the button and get exactly what we want. Like, oh, well, you know, a new car, that's B7. Just keep praying and praying and praying. I got enough prayer built up. It says, you know, the little screen says, you've got $30,000, B7. Bam, I got my new car. Do we treat God like that? Maybe we don't have enough faith to view God even as that vending machine where we can pray enough and get it. And instead we treat God more like a supernatural slot machine, right? You just stick in a couple coins and yank the lever and it's like, let's see what we get, right? There's people that are doing this. So this is the way they pray. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I need stuff in my life. And I got so many needs, I don't even know what to ask for. Ching, let's see which one gets met today. Or are you building a relationship with your Savior, with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords? Do you want to know Him more? Is that the desire of your heart, to know Him more, to know Him on a greater level today than what you did yesterday? Remember, it's just conversation. It's simple, but it's powerful. It's life-changing. We see through the Bible, we see people praying. We see people talking to God, and sometimes those conversations are filled with praise, right? You can even follow the same person in the Bible, and you'll see these different things. Sometimes it's filled with praise. Sometimes their prayers seem to be filled with frustration, with confusion. Sometimes we hear people make requests of God, and sometimes we see them thanking God for requests that have been met. But regardless of the content, they're still just conversations with God, right? It's not something that's supposed to look scary. It's not something that's supposed to look overwhelming. It's not about the time of day. Listen, get that. Just get it out of your mind. There's scripture that says you should pray in the morning, and there's scripture that says you should pray at night, okay? Get it out of your head if you think that you have to get up in the morning and pray or it doesn't count, right? It's not about the time of day. He could care less what the time of day is that you're coming to him, just like he could care less what the length of it is. Some of the best prayers I've ever heard in my life were simple. And they started with, God, here's my need. Amen. No Father, no Jesus name, no scriptures quoted. It was the middle of the day. Like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care about all of the fluff. Now, if you get to the point in the maturity in your walk to where you do know scripture, I'm not saying don't quote it. I'm saying that's great. But if you're not there, don't feel like you're less. Don't feel like your prayers don't count or they don't matter. It's not about how we pray. It's about the heart of the prayer. And so as we're going to dive into the Lord's Prayer a section at a time, again, I want to tell you, it's not about repeating that prayer. It's not about you need to alter your prayer life and you need to do this, because he doesn't say pray this. He says pray like this. Pray with these thoughts in mind. Pray with your heart inclined toward God in these ways and knowing and believing that he can do these things. And so over the next couple weeks, I'm going to be challenging you to pray. All right, so you better just get ready for it. You're going to get several weeks of me telling you to pray, and I want you guys to ask each other, have you been praying this week? I'm serious. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Nope. Actually, get the plank out of your own eye before you get the speck out of your brother's. So if you're going to be asking people if they prayed, it means you better pray. If you haven't prayed, don't ask somebody else if they prayed. But if you did, then I want you to ask. You can come and ask me too. Ask, have you been praying? And not in a way to like, I'm better than you. Not in a way to make them feel bad. In a way to hold them accountable and say, you know what? As a church, we're going deeper in 2018. Right? A few weeks ago, I preached about the expectation and how you have to look at the past to see what God has done to know what he can do going forward, and that we have to have that expectation. You know what? The expectation that I have for our church is that we're going deeper this year. That we're going to build our relationship with Jesus. And in turn, I'm going to tell you what, we can't help but to build our relationships amongst one another if we're building our relationships with Jesus. It's going to be a byproduct of it. It's going to come. And we're not going to be able to do anything to stop it. So pray, pray, pray. Just as simple as talking to a friend or a parent or a spouse. Jesus is God. But don't let that intimidate you, because Jesus is Son of Man. And you know what? Jesus knows English, right? It's really easy. You don't even have to learn another language. Just speak to him. And so today, we're going to close in worship. And this is what we're going to do to end today, is if you have a prayer need, right? This is what I want you to do, is I want you to just come forward and to voice it to God. Because, again, we're going deeper this year, and we're gonna be depending on our own prayer life before the prayers of others, okay? Because I'm going to tell you what, it's the same Holy Spirit that works, whether I pray, whether another prayer leader prays, or whether you pray. It's the same Holy Spirit that has the power, because we're all powerless without him, amen? If you would stand to your feet with me. So we're going to open up the altars, and again, if you want prayer today, I'm just asking you to come down. Seek the Lord on your own, and we're going to close in worship, because God is good. Don't forget to be praying this week. If you got to mark it on your calendar, listen, that's okay too. It's really okay for you to set reminders for yourself. It takes like, I've heard all kinds of things, but the last one I heard was it takes 2,000 times of doing something to make it a habit that will stick. I don't know if it's that many, but it means that you've got to do it repetitively. You've got to do it over and over and over, and you might have to set up reminders in the meantime, and that's okay. God understands. Tell you what, if he looks to and fro and he sees, you know, that Vicky put on her calendar every morning at this time to pray, or every day at this time to pray, every two or three times a day to pray, or pray for these needs on these days and these needs on that day, God's going to look to and fro, and what he's going to see is he's going to see a heart that's turned toward him. Even if they're using a calendar, even if they're using reminders, because it's saying, I want to have my heart turned toward you, God, so I'm making it a priority, and I'm even setting up reminders because I know myself. And he's going to see that, and he's going to reward that openly by answering at the right time. Amen? Amen. Let's praise the Lord.